not only that, but everybody know that I love to talk about purpose and destiny. I love it because I understand that none of us here are accidents. And you always hear me say that because it's real. And it's a tragic thing, amen, that some people can be born into this world and live their whole life and never really come into knowledge of why they're here. Why am I here? See, there are certain basic questions that we ask as human beings. Who am I? Identity. The other question we ask is why am I here? Why was I born? Every one of us in here was born for what? A reason and a purpose. And we all have a calling. And many, sometimes you, another thing that you, a description you'll hear me say is assignment. Assignment. So we were born into this world and you have an assignment. What I mean by that is spiritually, you have something that God called you to do that if you don't do it, it can't get done. That's special. That's special. So let's talk about that. I'm going to begin with this asking the question, because some people ask the question, can one man or one woman make a difference? See, because we look out in the world, we see all the things that are going on here in this world. And sometimes people can resolve within themselves and begin to feel as if, you know, that's just the way it is. Culture, society, the world. We see all of these things that are happening in the world and we began to resign and believe that's just the way it is. That's the way it is in culture. That's the way it is in society. That's the way it is in the world. And my brothers, we need to understand it doesn't necessarily have to be that way. So some people say, well, how do you change it then? Well, we can change it one by one, right? One man or one woman can make a difference in this world. That's what God wants us to know as believers in the body of Christ. You have to believe that you can make a difference. If nobody else will do it, you can. Somebody say, I can. I can make a difference. So I'm going to look over in the Old Testament. We're going to take a look at Moses for a minute because we're all familiar with Moses and the story of Moses. But let's look at that for a minute. In the first verse of Exodus, the third chapter, let's start in reading verse 1. It says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now, we're beginning with this because Moses made a difference. Moses was one man, but he made a difference in life. He made an impact. He made a mark in this world. And that's what it's all about, my brother. That's what this message is all about, is that while we're here on this earth, we want to make some kind of impact on this world. Somewhere in the Bible, we kind of read, you know, thus and so lived and thus and so died. And that was their commentary. We don't want that to be our commentary, that he lived and he died and there was virtually nothing to that they made a mark that happened in between the time of birth and the time of death. We want to make some type of mark on this world. You have a purpose to do that. And it's incumbent upon us to just pray to the Lord and God will show you what that is. Amen. You'll have a passion for it, first of all. See, that's the first indication of your calling, is the passion that you have, because you really can't get these things done unless you have a conviction about it and you have a passion about it. In other words, you see something out there, you see, for instance, that it's an injustice, maybe something that's wrong, and you feel as if something needs to happen. If I don't do anything about it, everything is going to remain the same. Amen. Moses, the Bible said, kept the flock of God. Amen. Where? On the backside of the desert. Where was he? Now, why am I bringing a point about that? Because we have to understand that a lot of times we can start off, amen, I want us to understand this about us, you and me, is that your start is not your finish. And what that means is that you may start somewhere where every indication does not show that you will be the great leader or great person that God has called you. It doesn't look like it, is the point I'm saying. But we what? We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. That right? So I said that to say Moses didn't look like the great leader that God called him to be. Moses was on the backside of the desert and nobody knew who Moses was. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we think we have to be, you know, some great name and some person of great notoriety in order to affect this world. No, just be who God called you to be, and he'll take you from the backside of the desert, and God will lift you up to notoriety. Amen. Nobody knew who Moses was. And so when we start out, nobody may not know who you are. Nobody know who this church is. But we continue to do everything that God told us to do. Why? Because we're walking by faith and not by sight. And if we keep on doing the things that God called us to do, at some point or another, God is going to cause you to make that impact in this world. So Moses started out where? In the backside of the desert. What was he doing? He was minding his own business. And that's kind of how it is. You can be minding your own business and God will stop by. He can touch your life. Amen. And he'll call you to an assignment. I already explained what that assignment is in life. We all have an assignment in life. Purpose for being here. Verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. We all know about that. God got his attention through a burning bush that did not burn out. It was not consumed. That got his attention. Walked by, you know, one part of the day and the bush was burning, and he was on his way back hours later and walked by that same bush and the bush was still burning. Got his attention. See, sometimes God has to first get our attention. Amen. The Bible says, let's read on. It says, out of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire and the bush was not consumed. Verse 3, and Moses said, here it is, I will now turn aside. There it is. See, sometimes, you know, God may be speaking in various ways and circumstances, but it's only when we stop, amen, and turn and take a look at what's going on. I will now turn aside, he said, and what? And see this great sight. Why the bush is not burned. There was a reason why the bush was not consumed. Because God was in the bush. Somebody said God was in the bush. See, when we see certain things happen, amen, to get our attention, God is in that. And it's, he's in it for a reason. It says here in verse 4, and when the Lord, what? Saw that he turned. God knows when he got your attention. He knows when he has my attention. It says, and when he turned aside, the Lord saw that he turned aside to see. Then what happened? God called unto him. Where? Out of the midst of the bush. There it is. God still speaks to us. How did he speak to Moses? Out of the bush. What did he do? He got Moses' attention. What did Moses do? Moses responded. And if we respond to the Lord speaking to us, God will show us something. This is what he did with Moses. He said, Moses, first of all, it indicates what? God knows our name. He's personal God. He knows you by name. Moses, the Bible said, he called out from the bush. And he said, here it is, here am I. What must be our response to the Lord? It starts right here in the heart. Not necessarily that you telling the pastor or the church that I'm committing myself to the Lord, but that you personally tell the Lord, Lord God, I commit to you. Here am I, Lord. I'm available. I'm listening to what you have to say. Verse 5. And he said, draw not near thee here. Pull off thy shoes from thy feet. Huh. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Somebody say holy ground. Wherever the Lord is, it's holy ground. God wanted Moses to acknowledge the fact that God is a holy God. And everywhere that God is represents a place that is holy. So he had to acknowledge and tell Moses, amen, worship me. Pull off your shoes and worship me. See, so if we're going to fulfill the calling, the assignment God gave us, we have to be willing to worship the Lord. Now, when I say worship the Lord, I'm talking about the sense of what the Bible talks about when it talks about worshiping the Lord. Worshiping the Lord is giving God his due. Acknowledging God in everything that we do. Amen. Worshiping the Lord. Praise the Lord. It says here, pull out thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is what? It's holy ground.
Verse 6. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. There it is. So God knew what the children of Israel were going through. They were in bondage. They were going through great challenges, not unlike sometimes the challenges that we go through. God knows what we go through. When we pray to the Lord, Lord, say, Lord, help me. God hears that. Just like he heard the children of Israel. The Bible said, God said, I heard their cry. I heard the prayers of my people. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster. For I know their sorrows. He says what? I know their sorrows. Just like God saying, I know your sorrows. I know what you're going through. And I also have done what? I've heard your prayers. Okay? It says here, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out to do what? Bring them out of the land unto a good land, a large and unto a land flowing with milk and honey, bringing them to the promised land, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and to the Jebusites. Praise the Lord. Verse 9. Now, therefore, behold, here it is. The cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression. God sees the oppression. Now, there are a lot of people on the earth, I'm going somewhere with this, that are being oppressed in various ways. And God sees that. Is that right? It says here, and I have seen the oppression of my people, wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, here it is. I will send thee. There it is. There's his assignment. One man can make it, or woman can make a difference. Somebody say that. One man or woman can make a difference. God say, I have called thee. Who? Moses. He was, that was the one he called out of the bush. Moses. And he said what? I will send thee unto Pharaoh. There's the assignment. That thou mayest do what? Bring forth my people out of Egypt. Verse 11. And Moses said unto God, here it is. Who am I that I should go unto the Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Praise the Lord. So I said, this is when God anoints you, he'll give you the ability to do everything he called you to do. So God called me to preach and he took away that horrifying feeling that I had standing in front of people and speaking. Now I can speak before 10 people or 10,000 people. It's the same because I understand that if I'm speaking the word of the Lord, I have something to say because God has something to say. And if God has nothing to say, I have nothing to say. So I say that to say, who am I? That's what I said. Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel? One man can make a difference. And it all begins with this. You have to know who you are. But let me say this in this introduction, and I'm going to come to that part about knowing who you are, okay? And that is this, because some people, can one man or woman make a difference? Yes, you can, okay? We will take a look at whether one man or one woman can make a difference or make a mark in this world. People today look out in society or in the world and see great dysfunctions in our society and families or in the world. We see great dysfunctions. There is a saying, though. If not me, then who? And if not now, then when? You ever heard that saying? We look out, we see all the dysfunctions, and we say, somebody else gonna do it. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when in New York, that tragedy that happened when a lady was being mugged, and people just passed by her, one after the other, and one assumed somebody else was gonna call the police. If not you, then who? If we see dysfunctions in this world and we always believe that somebody else is going to do it, then it might not get done because God gave you the assignment to do it. That's why he gave you the conviction. That's why he gave you the passion and the concern. Why? Because he called you to do it and you can make a difference. Touch your name and say, I can make a difference. You can make a difference because God's going to cause you to make a difference. Amen. And a mark in this world. Now, let me read. There's a song. I don't know too much about Matthew West, but when I was kind of studying this message, I came across this song. And he wrote this song. And the song is called Do Something. Do Something. The greatest tragedy in the world today is when we see a need, we see, amen, something that needs to be done, and we sit back and do nothing. We're waiting for somebody else to do it. Why not you? Let me read the words of the song, really interesting words, and it says this. I woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble. Now, thought, how'd we ever get so far down? How's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven, and I thought, God, why won't you do something? Well, I couldn't bear the thought of it. People living in poverty, children in slavery. The thought disgusted me. So I shook my fist at heaven and said, God, why don't you do something? And he said, I did. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me, then you. Right now. Now's the time. It's time for us to do what? Something. Whoa, glory to God. If not now, then when will we see an end to all this pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. I'm so tired of talking about how we're God's hands and feet. It's easier to say than to be. Live like angels of apathy who tell ourselves, it's all right, somebody else will do something. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of life with no desire. I don't want a flame, I want a fire. I want to be the one who stands up and says, I'm going to do something. If not us, then who? If not me, then you. Right now it's time for us to do something. If not now, then when will we see an end to all the pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time to do. We are the salt of the earth. We are the city on a hill. Shine, shine, shine. We were never going to change the world by standing still. No, we won't stand still. If not us, then who? If not me, then you. Right now, it's time for us to do something. If not now, then when? When will we see an end to all the pain? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time to do. Even more so, it's the powerful words to that song has a lot of meaning to what I'm talking about today. Now is the time. You look out, you see all the various injustices. We see something needs to be done. We see all the dysfunctions in this world, and we can't look out and expect someone else to do it. God wants us to step up to the plate and to do what? Something. Why? Something is better than nothing. Can one man or a woman make a difference in the world? I say yes. God says yes. Something is better than nothing. Do you see the things that are dysfunctional feel as if that's just the way it is? Resolve and resign that this is a reality that cannot be changed. We must do something rather than nothing. Like take violence, for instance. If one man will love his neighbor and show the world how to love one another, then think of how we can change the world if everyone will love his neighbor. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? Well, that's a concept that God called us to do, right? Love our neighbor. We have to change the mindset and philosophy of hating our neighbor. Jesus himself gave us a commandment. In Mark 12 and 31 says this, thou shall love thy neighbor as thyself. He didn't just tell us to love our neighbor, but he tells us how to love our neighbor. It's not enough to love your neighbor, but love your neighbor like you love yourself. If one man will do that, then we'll change the whole world. Come on, somebody talk to me. Matthew 5 and 44 says this, but this I say unto you, love your neighbor, bless them that curse you, do good. Somebody say do good. Oh, that's a whole new concept in the world and culture and the world that we're living in now. I'm not hearing that. But God said, do good to them that hate you. It's not easy to do, is it?
pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be. Somebody said, well, I just want to be a child of God. Well, show it. Show it. Come on, show. Touch your neighbor and say, show it. Show it. How do you do it? Do what God says do. Action speak louder than words, that you may be the children of the Father which is in heaven. God is love, and we're producing, amen, and showing forth that attribute of our God, which is what? Love. Now, a lot of times, somebody said, I heard that, Pastor, but it's true. We need to see that. And if we're going to change this world one by one, we have to first start by loving our neighbor, amen, as I said. We can get our neighbor to love us and love others, amen, as God said. This whole world would be different. Come on, somebody say amen. We wouldn't be seeing all the dysfunction that we're seeing in society, in the world, if everybody would love his neighbor. One man or woman can make a difference. Come on, somebody say amen. Love your neighbor. Now, Romans 13 and 8. Here's a good one. Because, you know, sometimes we're wrong. We feel like we can just chalk it up and put it on. Oh, I'm going to get them back. So we put it in an account. We call it revenge. Come on, somebody say amen. Revenge. But this is what God says in Romans 13 and 8. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, owe no one nothing except to love them. Come on. Do what? Owe no one nothing but what? To love them. For the one who loves one another has done what? Fulfilled the law. We've obeyed and did what God called us to do. If everybody in this world would do this, we can make a difference. One by one. So I said, your start is not the end. We know what happened to Moses when he started off, but God gave him a calling. God gave him assignment. But in order to do this thing, we have to change our mindset. You know, when I read that scripture to the world, that seems impossible to love your enemy. It seems impossible to do good to somebody that mistreated us. Come on, somebody say amen. But God knows that it's possible with him. But we got to change our mindset. You know, we can't be like the world and think like the world and act like the world, behave like the world. Amen. Have the same worldview as the world has. We need a kingdom view. That right? So we got to change our mind. Just like Moses. Amen. God had to change his mind. When God gave him an assignment, God called him. The first thing Moses said, who am I that I should go and do this thing? Because God knew that he needed one man to make the difference. Just one. God delivered a nation by one man. Oh, glory. Don't get me started here, y'all. So we have to readjust what we believe about what we can do, because God wants you to readjust that and let you know what you are able to do, what you can do. If you just believe what God says, we have to adjust what we believe. Amen. Regarding our effect on the whole world and what that can be. And then, my brothers and sisters, you got to be a little bit different. Amen. You in Matthew 10 and 22 is something we got to understand, because you're going to be, anytime you do something that's worth it, you're going to be opposed. You're going to be talked about. You're going to have naysayers. I say naysayers. You got to rise above your naysayers that say that why you're doing this, or you can't do it. You can't affect the world. You can't make a mark. Amen. You got to rise above those naysayers. Come on, somebody say amen. Because Matthew 10 and 22 says, you shall be hated of all men for my sake. So when you do what God said, do, don't be surprised if people dislike you because what you stand for. That's okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Just go on. Somebody say, go on. Yeah. God told you that. Amen. He said, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So if you just keep on and doing what God said, do. God said, you shall be saved to him that endureth. If you are doing what God called you to do, then the world will oppose you. But if you are doing nothing, then it will not oppose you. Amen? Matthews 10 and 18. While going about fulfilling our purpose, there's always will be naysayers and opposition to thwart your effect on this world. Matthews 10 and 18 says this. This is the voice version.
Because of me, naysayers and doubters will try to make an example of you by trying you before the rulers and the kings. When this happens, you are arrested, dragged to court. Don't worry about what I say or how to say it. The words you should speak will be given to you. For at that moment, it will not be you speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. So all it's saying is when God calls you to assignment, and if there are naysayers or people that oppose you and even try to bring you before the courts, don't worry about what you're going to answer and what you're going to say. God said he's going to just give you the right things to respond and say at that time. So don't allow the naysayers to discourage you and change your focus and deter your purpose and redirect your direction. Do what you believe is right. And remember that in order to affect the world for Christ, you have to have a conviction, a passion, and a willingness to do. You have to have what? A conviction. Amen. And then what? A passion. See, a conviction says that I have to do something, but that's not enough if you don't have a passion. You got a conviction that says I must do something. A passion drives you to do it. Amen. And the third one is a willingness to do. All of these things is required in order to make a mark in this world and to leave a mark before we leave this planet Earth. The Bible says faith without works is dead. It's not enough to have faith. We got to be willing to add works to it. Faith without works is dead. It's DOA. It's dead on arrival. It's not enough to believe something, but unwilling to act on what we believe. Amen. It's not a time to stand by and watch things happen. When you know something needs to be done, something must be done. Come on. Martin Luther King refused to allow this to happen, and he left a mark on this earth. How tragic it is when a person is born in this world and live all their lives and never come into the realization of why they are here. Mm-hmm. Acts 17, 5 through 7. Let me read that. See, because we got to affect this world. Let me show you an example of that. The Bible said, but the Jews which believe not move with envy, took unto them lewd fellows of the baser sort. That means bad people. Come on. And the Bible says, and gathered a company and set all the city a roar and assaulted the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, saying and crying, saying, these that have turn the world upside down. See, we can make a difference. Amen. They criticized them. They brought them before rulers because they were preaching the gospel and causing people to be saved and to change their life. And what was their conviction? These are people that turned the world upside down. Make a mark. Touch your name and say, make a mark. Do something. Make a mark. They turned the world upside down and are come here also, whom Jason have received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar. Now, we got to understand what he's saying here, because Caesar, in this case, represents the world. See, and so what he was saying is these are contrary because they won't fall in and do what everybody else is doing. They won't fall in and just be like the world is. Amen. They just a little different. They don't cut by the same pattern. They don't flow with the same stream. When folk are flowing downstream, they swimming upstream. Something different about them. They go contrary to the decrees of Caesar. And my brothers and sisters, when you represent Christ, there come a time when you're going to have to stand against what we're seeing happening in the world. Saying there's another king and his name is Jesus. One man can make a difference. Touch your name and say, one man can make a difference. There are those in history like Martin Luther King who looked out and had a conviction, saw injustices in our society and in the world. And he stood up and said, if nobody else will do, I will. Cost him his life. Is that right? I was watching a movie about a week ago, and it was about Erin Brockovich. Anybody know about Erin? I saw her just a couple of days ago on the news. Praise God. And all of the tragic things we see happening in Flint, Michigan. Amen. When all of those people are being poisoned by this bad water, by simply a bad decision.
Well, that happened back in the 70s, I believe it was, wasn't it? And so she saw an injustice by PG&E, the gas company, and they were poisoning the soil. And they were telling everyone, well, it's all right, don't worry about it. But the kids was coming up with all kinds of diseases. People were dying. Amen. And they wouldn't admit the fact that they were contaminating the soil and people were dying. And this woman didn't have the education that a whole lot of people had. But when you got a calling, when you got an assignment, I was amazed when she was in the law office and this big lawyers came in and decided they're going to take over the case after she did all the work. She knew all of the people because she went by their house and she talked to them. Passion and conviction. You say, well, listen, we got some people in here. We don't have their address. We don't have their number. She said, what address you want to know? So the guy read it, and their address. And said, she knew it from memory. That's the kind of conviction and compassion that she had. Ultimately, she changed the world. She left a mark. She's still here, but she made a mark. Because she had a passion and she had a conviction. Mother Teresa left a mark. Cesar Chavez left a mark. Gandhi left a mark. Rosa Parks left a mark. And any other unnamed person with a conviction and a passion to change the world. With a conviction towards action, not inaction. Non-action is a tragedy. When we see a need in a culture that's wrong, one man or woman can make a difference. And we need to understand this too, because we need to understand God knew us before the foundation of the world. Martin Luther King kind of talked about that, because he was preaching one day. And the question was asked, what if he wasn't born during the time that he was born? Then he wouldn't have been able to do what God called him to do. He could have been born in that other age back when, they had the Greeks and the Romans. He could have been born, amen, during a certain period of time when all kinds of things was going on over in Europe. Amen. He could have been born in a time that we're living in right now. But God, somebody say God. God didn't call him to this time. He didn't call him to that time. God called him to the time that he was born in for a reason and for a purpose. Where am I going with this? Sometimes we kind of dream and wonder what it would have been like if I would have been born in the 1800s. But God didn't call you to the 1800s. We wonder what it would have been like if we were born in the early 1900s. But God didn't call us to be born in the early 1900s. God did what he called us to be born in this time, in this age, for a reason and a purpose. Come on. What the Bible says that in the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4-5. When the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son made of a woman made under the law to do what? To redeem them that are under the law that they might receive the adoptions as son. There was a time that Jesus needed to be born. There was a time when all these great people that I mentioned, they were born at the right time to make an effect that they did when they did. Come on. In the fullness of time, he would have missed his purpose. Amen. They all were born what? At the right time. The what? The fullness of time. Martin Luther King says this. No, and we remember back in the 60s when all the social injustice and he felt like he needed to do something about it. He says, there's no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make the real promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valleys of segregation to the sunlit path of racial injustice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Somebody say amen. Brotherhood! It's time. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. See, that was passion. That was passion. Somebody say that was passion. For if one man can cause this world to be in the condition that it's in, amen, then by one man can make a difference. That's Romans 5:19. Because of one man disobeyed God, what? One man. Who was that man? Adam? What did he do? He disobeyed God? Huh? It's by Adam's disobedience, the Bible says, many were made sinners because of one man. Adam, when he sinned. But, somebody say but.
Because of one man who obeyed God, his name is what? Jesus. Because of one man was made righteous. Jesus knew that if he fulfilled his purpose, then he could change the world. And we have to know that if we can fulfill our purpose, we can change the world. John 3:17 says, God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. One man can make a difference. Huh? John 1:9 says, this is the true light, which light of every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him, one man making a difference in this world, his name is Jesus Christ. To them gave he the power to become sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will, nor of the flesh, but of God. Amen. And brothers and sisters, amen, I know it sounds strange, amen, it seems like a far reach sometimes, but we need to understand that God called you as well, personally, personally. One man or one woman can make a difference, but we got to change our mindset and see ourselves as God sees us and know that God birth you into this world for a reason, and we have a purpose and a destiny to fulfill. Amen. But we got to have a conviction. We got to have a passion. And we have to be willing to do something about it. Make your mark while you can. Pastor, that sounds very ominous. No, the fact of the matter is, every man and woman have been granted a period of time on this earth. That's a fact. Amen. We all, at some point or another, are going to pass on. That's a fact. We all going to pass on at some point or another. Amen. But the beautiful thing is, that's not bad news. It's good news in the sense that when we step out of the mortal and step into the immortality, amen, when we step out of this world and we move into that place that is eternal, we have a place not made with human hands, the Bible say. So we have something to look for, whether we're over here or over there. Bless God. We can get up every day and praise the Lord. We breathe breath, we can praise the Lord. But if by chance it's our time and we go to glory, we still can praise the Lord. Because the Bible said we got to believe this. To be absent from this body is to be what? Present. Amen. With. Somebody say with. Present means a place. Amen. Elijah, are you here? Here. Present with the Lord, absent from this body, present with the Lord. Amen. Paul said, I'm kind of torn in between if I want to be here on this earth or go home for glory. Amen. That's a beautiful thing. Amen. Don't lament over the fact that at some point or another, we got to step out of this body. But the beautiful thing is to be absent from this body. And my Bible tells me the streets are paved with gold. My Bible tells me, amen, that in the presence of the Lord, watch it now. Not just joy. Not that somebody just think about the most joyful time that you ever had, amen, and multiplied by infinity. That's multiplied, my brothers and sisters, and that's the kind of joy we have in glory in the presence of the Lord. Because for the saints of God, the Bible said, we receive Jesus Christ, we are born again, we receive eternal life. What that means is that when you step out of these bodies, that soul don't die. The body may die, but the soul lives on. And after you make your mark on this life, amen, praise God, you got a place to go where you can praise God over there too. That's right, home in glory. Bible said the life that we're living right now is like a vapor, is here now and gone. Life is short. We got to redeem the time. We can't wait and say, well, somebody else will do it when God birthed you for that purpose and for that assignment to get it done. One man or one woman can make the difference. Make your mark. Ecclesiastes tells us this. Amen. Make your mark. Do not live life in
and not walk in your purpose. This may sound strange, but God chose you to a calling. Here it is. I'm going to close with this verse. It says Ecclesiastes 9, 10, and 11. Here it is. Right? Passion, conviction, a willingness to do. Here it is. Verse 10 says this. And whatsoever, somebody say whatsoever. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. It says, do it with all your might. There it is. Whatever it is that you believe God called you to do, do it with all your might. Martin Luther King said, if you call to be a street sweeper, hey, come on, somebody say, sweep the streets, amen. So people will look out and say, wow, look at this street sweeper. In other words, make an impact on whatever. If it's worth doing it, do it to your best. I'll turn the volume down a little bit. But the fact of the matter, the Bible says, if you're going to set out to do it, give it your all. Give it all your might. Go farther than anybody else went before. Be willing to go the extra mile. Be willing to give your all. Be willing to make a mark. Be willing to touch somebody's life. Touch the world for Jesus. Bible says there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave. In other words, amen, we got to redeem the time, because when we leave this earth, we can't do it then. Come on, come on. We have appointed time. Now is the opportunity. It says, whether thou goest, it says in verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun, oh my goodness, that the race, somebody say the race, you in a race. It's not kind of race. That's why God doesn't want us to quit. I always taught my children, whatever you do, don't quit. You got to finish. If you start a season and you're going to play basketball, football, track, if you come to me and say, Dad, I don't want to do that, that's all right. The decision that you want to make. But guess what? Amen. You're going to have to finish the season, because you can't quit. Amen. We got to teach our children not to quit. See, because opposition and challenge are going to come. Amen. If you're not equipped for it, the minute a challenge or opposition come, guess what? You're going to quit and sit down. Don't quit. Touch your name and say, don't quit. Don't you quit. God is looking for you to finish. So the race is not given to the swift. You know, you see these people, they start out, woo, good Lord Almighty. They're way out ahead of everybody. And that's the reason why I love to examine a distance race. You ever watch a distance race? I was in high school when there was a gentleman, maybe he didn't realize that he had 8 laps to go. Praise God. Pow! The gun went off. And then he went, woo, Lord Almighty. The first lap, he practically lapped everybody. And it looked like he was going to win. Oh, my goodness. But here come those study runners. Race is not given to the swift. You got to be steady. Come on, somebody say amen. Touch your name and say steady. You got to keep on moving. You got to listen. Here it is. You got to pace yourself. You got to realize I got 8 laps to go. I can't expend all of my energy on lap 1 and I don't have enough for the other 7. The race is not given to the swift, the Bible says, nor the battle to the strong. Some people think, you know, just because they're strong, I got it. No, you need help. Come on. Don't you put your dependence on your strength, on your youth, on your knowledge, what you know. Amen. You better trust the Lord.
neither yet the bread to the wise, nor the riches to the men of understanding, nor yet favor to those who got all the skill. You know what I'm talking about. We look at folk and we think because they got skill that automatically excludes you from going to the top. But when Jesus take you to the top, stop looking at what you can do and start looking at what God can do. Woo, glory. Here come round seven. Bless God. And praise God, I used to be over the track, so I know what I'm talking about. Here come verse seven. Praise God. And when the leader of verse seven come, you know, whoo, glory. I love to see those study run. You look at them, they don't look tired at all. Run up to the bell, and I start. And I watch them runners. Amen. And it's like when I ring that bell, whoo, that means you got one more lap to go. And they may not have too much, but they have, it sure look like they have a whole lot left over. Bless God. Amen. When I ring that bell and they take off, boy. Hey, woo, look at here. They do what? They finish strong. Somebody say, I'm on, you know, no, this is last, my last. No, finish strong. Bell rung. Now it's time to finish strong. Nor yet favor to the skill, but time and chance happen unto them all. So don't you exclude yourself and say, I can't win. Yes, you can. I can't make a mark. Yes, you can. I can't affect nobody else. Yes, you can. I can't affect the world. Oh, yes, you can. You are a winner. This is not a pep talk. This is the truth of the word of God. So go ahead, finish the race. Touch your name and say, finish the race. Whatever your assignment is, get it done. Praise the Lord. Make some kind of impact on this world. Amen. So when you step before your maker, amen, and he asks you, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you finish your assignment? You can praise him and say, Lord God, I got it done. These are the ones that after you're gone, people will be talking about you for ages to come because you made a mark in history. Make a mark. Amen.